Sometimes I can't wait to share a message, and this is one of them. You'd think I would be that way every Sunday, but in a way, I guess I am, but this one is especially so. How many of you think God is great, majestic, high, and lifted up? Well, most of you, that's good. But what benefit is that to us? What benefit is that? What good is that? If I'm poor, sick, I'm struggling and defeated and in failure, what good is that to worship God and tell him how good he is? And it benefit me? No way. It's kind of like I'm getting mugged right here and my best buddy's standing next to me who's got a black belt in karate. And he's watching and saying, Dale, I'm great. I could handle that if you wanted me to. I can handle two or three guys. I've shown it. I could really do good with that. And I'm getting beat up while he's talking. And I say, yeah, I know you're good. Whack. I know you're really good. Whack. And I'm getting robbed. And he's just standing there. And I'm thinking how good he is at karate and how he could really help me if he wanted to. And then the robber leaves with my money and I'm beat up. And I get up and I say, oh, you're so good at karate. You're so good. What benefit was it? What benefit was it? I want to get after that. We sing a song, How Great Thou Art. How Great Thou Art. And we think about how he's created and how he's given and how he's done so many things. But what good does that do us if he does nothing to help us? When we need help and it doesn't come. We were created to worship. How many of you know that? How many of you know you were created to worship? God made you to worship him. It's commanded. Here's some psalms that tell us to do it. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Tremble before him all of the earth. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. He's holy. But what good is that to me if it doesn't benefit me? This is from Job 121. How many of you know I'm not a Job fan? Yeah, I'm not a Job fan. There's too much going on there that doesn't line up with what we have in other scriptures that we can depend on. And this is a very favorite, famous verse. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. While I'm suffering and I'm on the ground, beat up and robbed, I stand up to my friend and say, you're such a good friend. You're such a good friend. But my friendship didn't pay off, did it? Didn't help me. Reflection. How many of you know that when you were growing up, how you behaved reflected on your parents? And your kids reflect on you if you're parents. I remember seeing kids come to school who were well-dressed, had the best shoes, the best backpacks, and we looked at them and said, they must come from a well-to-do family. They must really come from somebody who's got means. And of course, an ambassador coming from a wealthy nation is going to have a different attitude than one coming from a very weak and unstable one. The poor and the underprivileged. How about those kids who come to school who come in old clothes and their shoes are worn out and they smell and they're hungry and they're distracted? We look at them and say, well, they're blessed. Not. What's going on at home, we think? What's going on in their life? It reflects, doesn't it? Ownership. Ownership. You own a car? Do you take care of it? You own a house? Does it look like it? I'm not trying to condemn here. I'm just saying it reflects. Worship has a purpose. Worship has a purpose. If we belong to God, but we cannot expect God's glory, something is confused. If we are beaten up and defeated and poor and lacking in life, but we have this great, great God who is high and lifted up and how great he is, and we receive no benefit, something is confused. something's wrong. Many times the Christian church has separated the two, our worship of God and His glory and our life. We go to church and many people say, what good does that do? And I don't blame them for saying it, because we'll sit there and say, worship God and all of His holiness. And then we go out and we say, well, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. The Lord, He knows what you're going through. Well, my friend knew what I was going through. He was right there. He knew it. Didn't do anything. Blessed be my friend. We have separated the two. Our worship, get this, our worship authorizes. Our worship authorizes and gives permission for His will to be done in our life. I am feeling this like nothing else. If you will lift Him up in whatever area of need you have, Lord, you're not afraid. Lord, you don't panic. You are high and lifted up. Lord, you never leave me. You never forsake me. Lord, you know my steps before I even step on them. You have provided for me. You are the great provider. And as I exalt who He is and what I need Him to be in my life, I'm authorizing Him. I'm authorizing Him. I was thinking of a good illustration. How many of you know about Michael Jordan? Some of you? All right. We're on a basketball court, and we're playing this team that's really good, and we're getting beat by 25, 30 points. And Michael Jordan shows up, and we say, isn't Michael Jordan good? He's on our team, and he's over on the bench, and he's, yeah, and we're looking at him. If he was in the game, boy, things would be turned around. If he was in the game. But he just sits there on the bench. Mike, you're so good. Mike, you can do anything. You're so good. Mike, boy, if you were out here, things would be different. Anybody getting this? This is how we worship. This is how we've been worshiping. Not realizing there's a connection. There is an absolute connection. We worship God and His glory becomes us. But we haven't believed that. We've made a disconnection. We put God on the sideline and think how great He is. And if only He could do it. And if only He would. But what have we learned about grace? He's already done it. He's already touched us. He's already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given us His name, His peace, His faith, His presence, His power. You know who's putting Him on the bench now? We are. We're putting Him on the bench and we don't even know it. Kind of silly, isn't it? We worship God and His glory becomes us. And we are the ones that determine it. How good is your God? Oh, my God is really good. How good is He? He's really good. Just like my friend, he's really good while I'm hurting and beat up on the ground. How good is your God? How good is your God? That He would not answer when He's already answered? Our focus brings it to us. If you're focused on the natural and fear and lack and hindrances and problems, it's coming closer to me. I'm bringing it to me. I'm authorizing it. But if I will change my focus and say, my God supplies. My God never leaves me. My God intercedes always. And He helps me to hit the mark. He always helps me to overcome. I can do all things through His. Strength, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding, looking, focusing, paying attention to Jesus, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image. We are activating, authorizing, bringing God onto the scene by our focus, attention, and worship of Him. What is it that you need? I bet He's got it. What area of strength that you need? I bet He has it. If you will glorify Him and worship Him in that area, you bring it. You bring it life, and it manifests in you. I think we've been pretty weak at worship. We haven't understood it. What we see transfigures our ability to believe. You and I need to see Jesus. We say that, and you think, well, yeah, I understand. You know, He lived 2,000 years ago. He rose from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father. I really, you know, I see Jesus there. Do you see Jesus here? Do you see Jesus here? Have you felt peace? Have you felt comfort? Have you felt presence? Have you felt His willingness and what He's already done? Oh my gosh, as you and I recount what He's done, we're seeing Jesus. We're seeing Jesus. What we see in the Lord transforms our life into His. Authorizing, activating. Praise works greater than fear. As much as God is greater than he that is in the world, as much as God is greater than the things He has made, as much as grace is greater than the law itself. Our fears focus our attention on the problem, hindrances, obstacles, making us mere men. When we look to God, when we praise and worship God, we are becoming supernaturally infused. We are becoming supernaturally empowered because we're recognizing and focusing on all the attributes of God that we need in our life. I think that's pretty real. I think that's pretty practical. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, really? That's how it works? You mean all this time of worshiping God wasn't just because He needed worship? When we focus on Jesus, we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His grace. When we're focusing on Him, we are worshiping. We are worshiping. When we see the Lord high and lifted up, we are embracing His divine nature within our own lives. That's what you've got to believe, that your worship of God has a purpose. Does God need our worship? How many of you think God needs our worship? The God who doesn't need anything needs our worship. He created us because He needed worshipers. He was bored and He needed worshipers. That's what selfish human beings think about God. God doesn't need anything from us. God doesn't take anything from us. God gives. If you're worshiping, it's not doing Him any good. He doesn't need to know He's high and lifted up. He knows that. He doesn't need to know He's almighty. He knows that one too. Not like us. We need somebody to say how good we are. I didn't quite hear you. That's human nature, right? Do you think God's up there saying, come on, a little louder. I need you to praise me a little louder. I'm taking it in, yeah. I need it. Come on, you disappoint me when you don't worship me. Forget that. That's all wrong. That's all wrong. We have often praised the Lord out of obligation, duty, and fear. If we don't worship, oh my gosh, He's going to curse us, He's going to step on us, He's going to kill us, He's going to slay us. I read that one on the internet this week. His ego or need to be recognized and appreciated does not exist. Wait a minute, but He created us and we have those needs. No, we're the created. He's the creator. He's the divine. We're just human. He's not like us. We fell from being like Him. We need to worship. God doesn't need to be satisfied with our worship. He's not taking in. He's always dishing out. And when you worship, when you acknowledge His holiness, we receive His benefits. Our worship of God is not for His benefit. It's for ours. It's for ours. Worship brings benefits. Here's Psalms. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? How about worship? How about thanksgiving? How about being grateful? You see, He's not that good friend standing by doing nothing while you get beat up. We worship because He intervenes. We worship because of His benefits. What are His benefits? What are these benefits? How about the new creation? Any of you born again? Behold, all things have passed away. Everything has become new. You are sons and daughters, no longer slaves and servants. That alone is worth worshiping. That alone is worth honoring and exalting in your life, because the more you do, the more you activate it, the more aware of it you are. Worship. And He says, an acceptable time. Oh, I've skipped something here. We have gone from being just natural and having temporary help. You see, under the Old Testament, they couldn't know God. They couldn't have the new creation. They were in relationship to God according to the law and based on mercy and pity. And they couldn't have confidence in that relationship. And the help was temporary. Now, under the new creation, we've been made supernatural. You have Christ in you. You have the supernatural presence of God in you. And that help is permanent. It's permanent. That's worth worshiping. That's worth worshiping right there. Oh. 2 Corinthians 6:2, I've read this verse before. In an acceptable time I've heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Why should I worship God? Because He's helped me. Because He's helped me. How has He helped me? Well, that's where my worship gets expanded. He's helped me because He's opened my eyes to understand grace. He's helped me because He's brought me to this time in my life and He hasn't forsaken me. He's helped me because He's given me a family with sons and daughters. He's given me something to do with purpose in my life. He's given me His joy. Come on. When do I stop? And every time I worship and remunerate the things of God like that, supernatural life is welling up inside of me. God is blessed because I'm getting blessed. I'm opening up the floodgates. I'm opening up the channels. I'm worshiping His holiness, and His holiness is being imparted to me through the new creation. Praise and worship and strength. You got to stay with me. I want you to see something. In Psalm 8:2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because you are enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. That's what Psalm says. Jesus takes that same verse and He says something very different. And Jesus said to them, yes, have you not read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? What's praise? According to Psalms 8:2, praise is strength. When you worship, when you praise, does God get stronger? He gets bigger. Nonsense. God's power gets infused into you, and you get stronger. Isn't that what you want? Worship brings liberty. Our worship and praise takes us out of fear and naturalism into faith and God's glory. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And all of these benefits, if you will enumerate them, what is it that you need? A financial need? Physical need? Relationship need? What kind of God do you have? I wish there were a God who would provide my needs. I wish there were a God who would heal my body. I wish there were a God that could bring peace to my relationships. Anybody know a God like that? Have you worshiped him to declare those things? A wealthy friend. We'd all like to have a wealthy friend, generous and kind, and when we're in trouble, helps us. How much more God has helped us. Take off your blinders. Take off your naturalism. Look at the spiritual truth. Stand in it. What has he done for you in Jesus? He's made you a new creation. He's given you his name, his feet, his peace, his faith, his spirit, his presence. He's done all of these things. And if you will worship and bow down, the glory of those things become you. He is wanting to pour it out. The worship isn't for his benefit. The worship is for ours. How much has God helped us? Our praise and worship changes us and turns the tables on our enemies. Our focus on God's greatness changes our circumstances and situations. It changes our attitude and reveals us in true believing. That's what worship does, but we have disconnected it. That's what I see. We come and we worship God and we don't expect the benefit of it. We worship God and we think it's because of obligation and that's what we're supposed to do. And he's saying, no, I created you to worship me so that you could receive of me all that I am. That's what worship's for. Someone who's really been worshiping is full of God. Someone who's been worshiping God has shows in his life. Jesus was a worshiper. Oh my, yes. He lived a life of worship. Feed on his faithfulness, Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. What does that mean? That means remind yourselves of all of the answers to your prayers. Remind yourselves of all of the miracles he's done. Remind yourselves of all the times he's kept you and forgiven all of your sins again and again. One time, 2,000 years ago. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on it. If you're focused on the lack and the fear, that's what you're being drawn to. But if you'll focus on him, that's what you'll be drawn to. That's what will come of you. Take in the sustenance, strength, energy, food, and power by faith in his grace. It means that gratitude and thankfulness in his faithfulness is of great benefit to us. Why give thanks? I wouldn't, after getting beat up and robbed by that robber, get up and say, thank you, friend. Thank you for all your help. Worthless piece of nothing. He had the power, but he didn't use it. I'm supposed to give thanks. It doesn't work that way. God never intended it to be like that. Psalm 107:8. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We're supposed to worship God for all of his wonderful works in heaven. No, to the children of men. What he's done for us. What he's doing for us. That's what we give thanks for. We give thanks because God made us, loves us, takes care of us, and intervenes in our life through his grace in Jesus. In Revelations 11:17, there's going to be this conclusion, if you will. I want you to get something from this. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. In this realm and at this time, God is not reigning. He's not in control. His sovereignty has allowed us to choose, and we get what we choose. Under the law. But since you're a born-again Christian, you've been given dominion back in his name, and through you and through me, he can now reign in life with us. We are his intervention. But without us, without the branches, there is no fruit. You understand? But there'll come a time when all of this nonsense is over, when the second coming comes and his kingdom is established, all of us are going to give thanks because he used his great power to reign. And there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more curse. You with me? You understand? We will give him thanks for being God to us. But we don't have to wait till that day. We've been given his name now. We've been given his grace now. And if you will believe it and worship him in it, you will be strengthened in your faith to stand in his grace, and you will become a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. You'll be just like Jesus in the earth. Did I make that up? Or do you remember the scripture? 1 John 4:17. Why did he reveal himself to us? Why did he reveal himself to us? Was it because he just wanted to show us his great glory and leave us to ourselves? He showed himself to us to help us, to be to us what he always wanted to be, our God. Worship is honest, truthful, inspiring, and real for us when we see God in his holiness and righteousness. It changes us. It strengthens us. It opens our eyes to our source and supply, purpose and place. It brings the Most High God into our life to support and sustain us. Worship has a purpose. How many of you remember the first of the Ten Commandments? Most of us usually remember that one. Have no other gods before me. When this was given, there was an argument presented with it. I want you to see the argument. Do you see it? I am the Lord your God. I'm high and lifted up. I don't care what happens to you. I just want you to worship me. That's not what it says. I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. I am for you to deliver you from your bondage of sin and addiction. I have brought you out. I'm your God. Worship me, and that will become you. Why is God God? Is it because of who he is and what, or is it because of what he's done? You know, in the Old Testament, there was a theme. And that theme was this: that you might know that I am God, that there's none like me. And he would do signs and wonders and change the times and change the things. If Satan or any other god could do those things, then God wouldn't be special, would he? But he's God to us because he is. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. And what is he like? Why, he's a great friend that stands by and watches you get beat up. He's great. Or is he a God that intervenes in your life? I worship you because you never leave me. I worship you because you're my God. I worship you because you take care of every need I ever have. My needs, my supply, my path is provided. You intervene in my life and you make me to hit the mark. My life is not wasted because you are in me. You've done all that you possibly could to save me. You've come into my life and made me like yourself. You've given me yourself. You're in my life to do for me. Does that sound like worship? Does to me, and it makes me aware of who he is to me, and I am taking in the divine, and it's strengthening me. Conclusion, there is one. Ooh. All right, our worship realigns us to see God in his glory so that his glory can be seen in us. Worship isn't for God, it's for us. Worship doesn't drain us. God isn't taking from us. He's giving to us when we worship him. Man, I hope you get that today. If anything else, we receive from him when we worship. God is the giver, supplier, the one who always blesses. When we worship, we are the ones who are blessed. Amen. Don't worship God for no reason. We don't worship for nothing. But I think our church has taught us that. We worship God, but don't expect anything. You know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless him even though he slay me. We're talking Old Testament stuff here. Those are Old Testament scriptures. No, 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 no. We don't worship and praise God for nothing. There's a reason why we praise Michael Jordan. Right? He's good. He's done it. He's doing it. Well, he's retired. But you know what I'm saying? There's a reason why we give praise to people, because they're doing it. Why do we praise and worship God? Because he's done it. The more we do worship, the more we'll see Jesus, the more faith, the more grace we're in, the more we'll see the Lord in his glory, the more we'll experience it in our life. Do you understand what worship's for now? It's not just an obligation. Oh, baby. Okay. Someone will take care of that. God's dream for us comes true when through worship. Our worship sets us free to be just like Jesus. The worship of God is not for him, it's for us. Entering into the fullness of the Spirit to magnify, glorify, and worship the Father. I can't tell you something that would be better for you than that. Some of us have been really reserved in our worship of God. How bad do you need him in your life? I think you were praying one night a few years back about a friend's situation that just wasn't working, and you didn't have any more words. And she was reaching out in her heart, and she began to pray in the Spirit, in tongues. For the next, I think you said an hour and a half or something, she was in such a place of worship and praise of God. On the day of Pentecost, when they were praying in the Spirit, they were glorifying and magnifying God. Why? Because he is high and lifted up, or because his high and lifted upness is in us? And for us, and to us. Man. Our worship of God brings his glory to light in us. I'm feeling it. I hope you're feeling it. I got a renewed sense of purpose for worship. It's not just to sing songs. It's to activate God in my life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, you've called us to be worshipers, not for your benefit, but for ours. And I pray that every ear that's heard this morning and every eye that's seen this morning will begin to realize, oh, I have such needs in my life. I need to worship God and those needs and how he is able to meet those needs and how he's done it. I need to magnify God in my life where I feel weakness because he is my strength. And he's well able. He knows my heart even better than I know it. And he can handle me. He loves me. And he has not withheld anything from me.